The sent out ones.
Yeah. Good morning. It's 9:30 a.m. and this is our quarterly city county meeting. And with us, we have City Manager Aaron Kubik, Mayor Darren Fowler, and our Council President Dennis Roller, as well as Commissioners DeYoung and Morgan. So I don't think we have anything specifically on the agenda.
We have a real agenda.
The mayor had a couple of items.
I did.
We did as well. So it was.
We figured we'd think of some.
Oh, nice new button, new raft.
Yeah.
How are you?
Membership has its privileges. I'm about the same as when you left me. How the heck are you guys doing?
Hanging in there, I guess.
Today's a real ragged day, but it's been. Yeah. You know, we've got a lot on our plate this week with the marijuana thing coming up, and we're responding to the exploratory question, getting something started. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to start at that today. I'm in the minority, but I'm slowly but surely being convinced by my two counterparts.
Well, best of luck fighting that.
It's very confusing. Well, I have to philosophically go back to, who do I want to live here? I've got people who are saying, you know what, I'm surrounded by this stuff, and I don't want to be surrounded by it, so I'm going to sell out and I'm leaving. And who are they going to sell out to? Another grower. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to end up in the long run? Are we going to just be growers, wall-to-wall growers with no real solid people like yourselves, you know, willing to stay?
Or is there a growing zone or areas where they would thrive and not necessarily be bad neighbors?
I don't have a problem with it being all growers. If they were people that were living here and contributing to the community and taking part in the community, unfortunately, most of the commercial grows we're seeing are owned by people outside of the state or outside of the county, and they're not contributing to our county. Their employees are coming from other places. They're temporary employees. They're not invested in our community, so it's not establishing.
A lot of them are cash employees, so they're not helping in that regard.
And so it's not establishing community, and that is a concern.
And what's frustrating is that, you know, I can't do anything to my property without going down here and finding out what I can and can't do. But yet they buy a piece of property and they just go get the cap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, start moving stuff around.
They don't care. They don't call. They don't come in and get a permit to clear the property. They just clear it.
Yeah.
And they push it all right up to the property line. So now there's 15 foot of
burn
stuff and fire hazard. Golly. Right on the property, you're next to the guy's barn next door, next to the backyard for his house and his swimming pool. And you go over and talk to him, and it's, you know, what do you think you're going to do about it? I mean, it's very combative out there.
Yeah.
A lot of bullying going on, and I think eventually that's going to say, you know, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'll be right back. And that, I think
they're having that already.
Yeah.
The sheriff's having to respond to violent calls.
We don't have the resources in our sheriff's department to respond to that. We got 1,650 something miles and square miles of property out there, and it is getting almost warlike. Well, but yet, and then again, I have, you know, five guys from out in the Tacoma area. They've got every dime they've got invested in an OLCC recreational grow, which is what we're targeting. OLCC recreational grow, and they go, you're just going to shut our business down. So how do we take into consider they don't have complaints around it. They are good.
Right.
They are good.
Do they grandfather in, as long as they don't change the use? I know.
See, but the problem is with a grandfather, it's going to take us 6 months to get anything solidified. And in that amount of time, everybody's just going to run down and be, all of a sudden, we're going to, we're all commercial.
That's the problem with writing the rules after the laws.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned one thing about the sheriff's department not having enough resources. You're right. And one of the biggest issues is you don't have enough resources. Forget the marijuana. If you had enough resources just to deal with the county, and that's fine. But the problem is you've got to try and gear up for enough resources to deal with the machine that feeds the Portland metro area with marijuana.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How do you do that?
Without state help.
Commissioner Morgan
testified as we are your supplier and you need to take care of your supplier. They laughed at us because we were at 58 cents. Now we've corrected that. Now they're starting to look at us up there that we're a little bit more, we'll listen to you now because you passed your levy. Now you're at a buck and a half. And we're okay with that now. You know, now we're saying you were making movement. Now we're getting a little bit more. But I want this thing to all go under OLCC. If it goes under OLCC, then we no longer field the phone call.
Right.
We pick up and say, hey, here's the number. 1-503. And you give them to OLCC. if OLCC is overwhelmed with complaints from all different aspects of the industry, and they're all connected to the production thereof, then she goes, whoever's in OLCC goes to Kate Brown and says, I got a real problem down here in Oregon. I think we've overlooked this long enough. I need a lot of help down here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we'll get the resources. But right now, I don't think we are not going to be able to, mm-hmm. to lobby for any resources down there. They're not going to listen to us.
And I think it's somewhat unfair for the residents of Josephine County to have to bear that burden for the state.
Well, I've got a couple of deals over legal right now, two or three. I've got two, at least two different deals over there, maybe three. I don't know if you listened to me on the last one, but and we're running through legal to find out if that's an option we can have locally.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to keep it Josephine County or Southern Oregon, regionally Southern Oregon. Because I don't think, you know, every time, well, Lily spends a lot of time in the state, I don't. But every time I go up there, we don't get to hear about anything. We're not even on anybody's radar. We say, how about Southern Oregon? Oh, yeah, we're going to get to you later. No, you're not. And they never do.
If we were able to provide for our own revenue stream based off of that industry, then it would be fair because we wouldn't be having to pick it up from just the property taxes mm-hmm. of our citizens.
You just struck a chord Dan can hear.
Yeah. So then that would be fair.
And that's what we asked in testifying was that they take into consideration the canopy grows and that somehow that be a part of the distribution of the revenues that they're receiving.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest response was from the education union, and mm-hmm. they did not want anything going against the 40% that goes to the education. And so they said they would change to consider canopy grows and the 10% the counties get, but it's still a 10% portion based on population or this and that. So it's still not really helping. Their biggest response to the high number of medical grows directly correlates to the high amount of black market going out of state. And they were able to show in a study that those two are connected. Yeah. And Josephine and Jackson, Lane, a couple counties are the high ones in that. So they were changing the regulations, and it did pass that anything over 12 plants will go under OLCC regulation. And OLCC requires seed to sale tracking. And so mm-hmm. that is one mm-hmm. of the things that the state did to try to see if we can curb some of the black market end of things. It still requires them to enforce it. It's their regulation. It's their
agency. The onus
is
on them to enforce it.
They don't have the system set up to enforce it.
When I was a reserve deputy, one of my reserves was an OLCC officer, and he was assigned from Lake County to Curry County.
Wow.
One guy. And that was alcohol.
But that's what I mean. It's one guy. We have one code enforcement person for the whole county.
You can't even see it in the air.
2,700 registered marijuana grows,
mm-hmm.
medical grows. And we have one code enforcer, and she is going to go out there and whip the world. I don't think so. This thing is bigger. This thing's the National Guard if you're ever going to stop it. But I've got a thing over in legal, and it's about, Wally says it's probably 40% through about 40% of it. And he says, I can't find the hitch yet.
Good.
I've got, and I want to know if at the state level, Mike MacArthur said, you want me to get Rob Bavette involved in this? I said, no. Because I know what Rob will do. I know exactly what Rob will do.
Do you know who Rob Bavette is? He is the attorney for the Association of Oregon Counties.
Yeah.
And he has been one of the ones that's helped draft a lot of the marijuana regulations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's on the forefront of it, yeah.
He has a tendency to lean that way. So anyway, but that's what our big
is
for now.
I'm just kidding. I was wondering which way he was leaning.
Well, I gave a deal to, in fact, Dennis was there, but I gave a progress report on Josephine County to the SoReady board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just listed things that I thought were concerns here. Number one being our transient population right out here outside the courthouse, and that we didn't have a levy. You know, we're just checking those off one at a time. Another one was I'm real concerned about the graduation rate in our school mm-hmm. system, and I just kind of gave the scenario that I, you know, I came to town. So SoReady invites me in town. They spend $5,000 wining and dining me and showing me all the school, the high school, and the hospital, and all the things that Josephine County is great for, and you need to move your management team here and about the industrial park and get some land out there and, you know, build a building. What can we do for you? And so on and so forth. And then they say, well, you know, why don't we just go down to the courthouse? We'll take this public transportation. We'll go down to the courthouse and we'll find out, you know, what, you know, where assessed values and stuff around here. I'm interested. So they get let off out here. They got to run 25, the gauntlet with 25 homeless people to get to the elevator to get to the assessment.
Vagrants.
All the vagrants. Right? Well, yeah. And so
may or may not
be. You know, the guy goes, you know, the guy's got to kind of usher his wife through there, and he's not comfortable with that. So he's, well, I'm going to go out the front door. So he goes through the courthouse and out the front steps. Walks down the street, and he runs into some of the guy. He says, you know, can I ask you a question about your town? Sure. I said, yeah. He said, we're thinking about moving our company here. And, you know, on our tour, we passed a hospital out here. My mother-in-law is going to move with us, and she has a heart condition. If she were to have trouble, is that good hospital? I said, nope. To the person, nope, I'm going to Medford. You don't want to go out here. We want to go to Medford. Well, that's a nice facility, so I don't care. You don't go out there. Hey, my brother-in-law died out there. So you go over to Medford. Mm-hmm. Then you ask him about it. You say, you know, you ask him this. I've got young children like you when you moved here. What's your school system? We toured your high school. My God, what a facility. You know, kids playing soccer, blah, 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 blah. Everything's cool, man. You know, we got all sports park. We love it here. What's your graduation rate? 68%. That's not good.
That's just inside the city.
Yeah.
When you move outside.
68% and dropping. Mm-hmm. And then you say, you know what? I'm a nice dresser. I like to pick up a tie and a shirt, sport coat. Where are you going, Grand Theft?
Can't do it anymore. JCPenney's is closing.
Fred Meyer, JCPenney coat. Well, you can't. Your town won't sustain a JCPenney. Nope.
Nope.
So nope. you go to Medford because you have Fred Meyer and Walmart to buy a sport jacket.
Yeah.
Ain't that?
What are you going to do with your company and your management team? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to go to Medford. And I says, you know, and the reason I bring this up is so ready oftentimes gets butchered for not doing anything on this side of Blackwell Hill and promoting this side of Blackwell Hill. What the hell are we doing to promote our area? Nothing. Right. We can't even get the litter cleaned up. We're not even on ODOT's radar for taking care of our off-ramps and on-ramps.
Yeah, it's a few triangles around.
They look like dried up barren wasteland. Or South Y, what a mess. I asked Mike Baker about that. He says, and Gary Lee, they said, oh, okay, we'll redo South that Y out there. You just got to keep the water.
We have a contract now. They're watering it. We're watering it.
How's it cost to keep it watered? He goes, well, David Reeves told me it was $16,000 a month.
Wow.
I went, is he adding sewer to that? Or is it just irrigation? You're out of your mind. You're out of your ever-loving mind. And they said, well, that's what he told us. That's why they weren't going to pay for it. I went, run another study. Find out.
All right. Some
fears said, well, I understand that.
We're watering now.
You're watering now.
Yes,
now
we're up
dead.
To that.
Congratulations.
Well,
but
no,
I told
coming
them,
back
I said, you know, one of the things you won't do, Mr. Baker and Mr. Leaving, one of the things you won't do is paint it green again.
Yeah.
I said, we had an answer for it that I think that's like, you know, fire retardant is red, you know, and it has seeds and stuff in it. This is green, and it's like a rehabilitation map.
It's California method.
Hydro seeding.
Well, and you'll see the results next year. Yeah, right.
No, we still have that sir with ODOT, and will, and are having it with the in and out up there and stuff. But let me go back and say congratulations on passing a levy. You guys should be very proud of that. We are very proud of you for that, and I think that's awesome. But we have our own city levy coming up in the fall, so we would appreciate your support in any way you can on that.
And you are
going to
renew.
It's a renewal for 3 years we're going for.
$1.79.
While we look at a potential fire district is why we went so short, and to stay away from your 5-year.
How long are you going to go for?
Three. So it'll end 1 year before your 5-year. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but the only thing that came out of this, and I know you guys know this, that really concerns me is that we lost control of our jail beds. We don't have a memo of understanding. We don't have an intergovernment agreement on that. We have some of your word. We have some of the sheriff's words.
You'd like to slip.
And, well, I would like to know, because we are the only major city, besides Cave Junction, in there and pay a lot of the property taxes that go to the county coffers. We're wondering why not? Why can't we have those 22, 28 beds out of the 180 that our police can determine without fear? Because that has really worked on our vagrant population to be able to put them in jail for anything they can't get in thrown in for Medford or any other city. And so because there's 180, you know, I want to plead for that same 28 that we had. Or some sort of contract verbiage guaranteed. Understanding.
You want to guarantee that you want yeah. your what?
I'd like to push for that. Is what I'm trying to say.
Your level, the level you want. Yeah.
I would love to have an opportunity to have further conversations with you guys about it. That sounds like fire trucks.
It is tall ones.
We recently had a mapping of our criminal justice system. And this was outside person coming in and looking at from the streets to end of sentence. You know, what does our system look like?
I thought that looked like a very valuable thing.
It is, actually. And one of the things that they mention is that we're very siloed in that process. And this is kind of community-wise, we're siloed in a lot of the things that we do as well. But as a whole, we're not working towards a common goal. Right. Each individual entity has their goals and they're doing their job, but they're not interacting as a whole system as to what works best in the whole system. One of the concerns that the evaluator brought out was how our city has a 100% lodging policy, because it actually goes counter to evidence-based practices that shows that if you put low-risk people in with high-risk people, your low-risk become higher-risk. Mm-hmm. So you're actually having an adverse effect on your community by making your lower risk higher risk and creating a bigger criminal issue in your community. And it was specifically something that she tried to speak with the chief, but the chief answers to an elected body who has a philosophy of the response. But it is one of those things that I know how we got here, because we were all in those meetings together saying, we've lost our jail. How do we deal with our vagrancy issues? A lot of those folks, it's a quick hold them there, and then the charges are dropped. They're not convicted of anything. They don't go anywhere.
Right.
And it's one of those things that I absolutely understand, because we had none, and our reaction was, everybody's going. But what evidence will show you is what's actually, what we should be looking at is overall goal in the community, is what's going to lower our risk factors, what's going to lower our end-all criminality, and putting our low-risk and high-risk people in together in the same facility doesn't do that. And so the mapping response was to suggest that we actually take it a step further and start doing some common goals from the beginning to the end. But you'll hear our chief say, this is why you have 185,000 police departments across the nation. And so every community can control their police department and how they go. But is our end goal just to lock people up, because we're doing that? Or is our end goal to reduce our criminality and have a safer place to live? And so if we actually want to look at our goal, then we might have to be open to what is the best for evidence-based practice on actually changing behavior.
Right, and that would take some convincing of our police chief, obviously, because we don't have the expertise necessarily to understand the depths.
I just want you to know that that was a response of the lady with the mapping. Well, and it would be, to me, worth having some ongoing conversations. And you know, potentially, is this a lipstick thing, you know, or is this somewhere else that we see what really has the greatest impact on reducing the vagrant impact in our community, or the criminal impact in our community, or
which is clearly the best.
What is our goal? Because every evidence will show you that going to jail does not change behavior. It simply gives a timeout.
True, but the one thing that the chief says about that, and I agree, you really take a holistic approach is the best way to do it, exactly what you explained. But being able to house, what it does is from the concept of, from a city's perspective, we're not trying to rehabilitate that person. When we have the ability to house, then what we're doing is we're making it extremely inconvenient for the day, 2 days, 3 days that they're in there. They're going to leave town. It's not going to be
but
a city.
They're not leaving town.
It's not going to be, some of them are. Okay. It's not going to be City of Grants Pass that's trying to rehabilitate. It's going to be whoever else has better services mm-hmm. and that they don't get housed in the jail.
So let me bring something else to mind.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention before I lose it is that, and I know Dan and I have talked about this with the sheriff, is that, and I think the sheriff understands that the matrix that we had in place with the contract would be an excellent way to continue to run the operation of the jail. Whether or not you're kicking people because you're utilizing all of them, but that matrix does work.
And he implemented it.
Yeah, and so maintaining that matrix, making the corrections officers do their jobs, bringing them in, yeah, it's more hassle than booking them, fingerprinting them, and sending them out the door again, but it actually does prevent, it helps prevent future.
Public perception, I don't care what the studies say. Yep. Public perception is when you just catch and release, because I don't want to take this kid and put him in. Then you have a problem in the jail. You take a pod and you put your high-risk offenders, and you put them in 1A, and they don't fraternize with the rest of them.
They try, but here's one other thing. Okay. By you putting them in jail, though, yes. You've charged them. They now go through our criminal justice system, and they get convicted, and they get placed on probation. Probation requires they stay in our community. So, again, is it meeting your need of lowering our risk and getting them out of town? This is all I'm suggesting, is right. that at some it's point a, we actually talk about what is our end goal and what are the best steps to reach that goal. Is the goal to just make it inconvenient and hope they leave? But if they get convicted, they're required to stay. So that ends that goal. Or does it make a better criminal out of them? So I just want you to be aware there's more to it than just are we locking them up? And I would invite you guys to be a part of a further conversation that we actually investigate what is the end goal for the City of Grants Pass within Josephine County.
So I have a question about the probation thing, as I'm not that familiar with it. So if you are convicted, you're on probation, you can't move to another city and then get rehooked up in the probation system in another city?
So here's how it works. You're required to be on probation where you live. If you're homeless, it's where you got convicted. So it automatically shackles you to us. In order to get transferred to another city, you have to have a legitimate address to move to. Mm-hmm. If they're homeless, they can't say, I'm going to go be homeless over there. They can't transfer their supervision. We're stuck with them if they're homeless vagrant. So the difference is I come here, I live somewhere else, I have an address somewhere else, I get convicted here. We transfer back to where you lived, but you had a home and a residence that can be verified. The homeless and the vagrant, we're automatically creating a situation where they have to stay here if they get convicted.
One of the things that we kicked around, and I understand where the sheriff's coming from, but I also understand where the chief is coming from. I like your matrix, whether it works or not, whether all the things down the road make any sense or not. At the very beginning, you're taking that guy and throwing him in jail. How many of those people do we find that they have wants and warrants somewhere else? Because we have them in there for 48 hours or 24 hours. Say, hey, guess what just popped up from Albuquerque, New Mexico? You're out of here. Plus, I agree with Mayor that it is. It's taking them off the street. They don't, or Aaron. Taking them off the street, they don't like to be inconvenienced more than one or two times. And then they say, you know what? We're out of here. And whether it works or doesn't work, I'm not here to argue that. I don't care about a study that says it does or doesn't. I'm looking at the perception of what the people say. The people gave us that money to open that jail to put people in it. They didn't give us the money to open the jail and go back to catch and release.
But that's what we're doing.
Just a minute. That's why I had a talk with the sheriff. When the sheriff said, I can't promise the city their matrix. And I said, why can't you? Their matrix should be our matrix. Their matrix should be our matrix. We got that thing passed saying that it would not be catch and release anymore to a certain extent, that we were going to have more jail beds. And yet we're still doing that. And I said, you need to bring our matrix up to their matrix. And therefore, then the people will see a difference in the county. If you don't, we didn't do what we said we were going to do. And I know that you're in the legal end of it. You're in the...
I'm just saying a misdemeanor should never trump a felony.
See the woods.
A misdemeanor should never trump a felony. And trespass, disorderly conduct, harassment, assault four, I slap you. And it causes an injury that's not severe. That is still a misdemeanor crime. And those are what will get you in and get you out quickly, because they will not trump a felony. And what people in the community are upset with is the catch and release. Well, that's because you can't legally, under state law, keep people for so long.
But you can keep them for so long. You can keep them for 24 hours.
But you will hear on the Facebook page the sentiment of our community that is frustrated. That individual got arrested 20 times. Mm-hmm. And it's a systemic issue. Why, when they got arrested, were they not held long enough to get to court, long enough to get to here? But when you overwhelm the jail and you fill it with misdemeanors, somebody's going to be kicked. And so at which point, I hear you guys that you want your folks in there. At the same time, there is still a matrix that is in the crime risk, the person's risk, all this other kind of stuff. It's all considered. But if you fill it with misdemeanors and a felony gets arrested, that misdemeanor is going to go, and there is limitations to how long somebody can be there. But the whole thing of, okay, let's think about, do we want our DUIs to go to jail? Or because you're paying for half a sobering center, now that there is a breathalyzer over there, that you take them to the sobering center, they get the breathalyzer, instead of then going over to the jail and sitting in the jail overnight, they sit over there overnight, they meet the legal statute requirement. Do we think outside the box of what's going to have the greatest, biggest impact long term to actually have the impact of the community wants to be safe? The community wants people held accountable. The community doesn't want it to appear that somebody can steal a car six times and get in and out. But if we're filling the jail with misdemeanors, that person who's stealing the car six times is still not going to have as much space if we guarantee 28 misdemeanors. What's the end goal?
Well, and so we can tweak the matrix, perhaps, or the number of beds, but I think the conversation is worth having.
Absolutely.
I wonder if you think we, as a board and a council, maybe bring the sheriff with you on one of our joint meetings. Would that be a place to discuss this, or do you think this is something a task force would want to look at and use the justice mapping information and the input from the council and the commissioners to try and recommend something? Because we can argue the finer points and it would get bogged down, I imagine. But we need, the professionals need to have their input and the community needs to have their input. So either we're the community and we're the input, or and so maybe we'll try it at a quarterly meeting. But I also, the bigger picture, we got the jail beds, or we got the levy based on the number of jail beds and the promise of resident deputies. And so we need to keep it filled as best we can during that time because we have the criminals to put in there.
Yeah.
So we want to utilize it.
Your 28 jail beds was in that levy. That's why I tried to explain to the chair.
Right.
I said, you've got 55 more beds than you had before. Even with 30 of them going to the city, those were already budgeted in there. So you have 55 jail beds to do with as you please. They should be able to do it with as they please with their 30 beds. He said, but they're not paying. I said, but everybody's paying.
But they are paying.
The whole people, right. Everybody, the whole county is paying for an uplift in service. Mm-hmm. Not to say, oh, the city's got to come down to the county's matrix because now they're not paying anymore. You're already paying.
Right.
You're already paying 40% of your of the money coming into Josephine County comes from the city.
And plus, we help keep you alive for 5 years.
But if we find a matrix that works for the city, it'll work for the world. And so that's the way it should be. And so everything's worked the same.
We do need to have these conversations.
I agree. We do need to have an IGA or an MOU.
You don't have any idea where Simon's at on this. Is he pretty supportive of the city's idea of controlling some of the jail or
so
pressing a matrix?
I'm not going to support the city controlling the jail beds. That's our sheriff's job. I am going to agree with we come up with a system that works with the city to meet your needs. And
the county.
And the county's needs. I'm not going to abdicate the authority of my sheriff over a jail.
No, and I don't think you should. I don't think you could.
And
without a contract.
But I do invite us to have those ongoing conversations. What is our purpose we're trying to meet? Systemically, how do we do this together? And how do we actually have an impact that's lasting that's going to happen?
And so that's what
ongoing.
Our police needs to track as best he can, is what has changed now that the levy effect is starting because we're in July, so the
they haven't turned anyone away from lodging.
Right, but we need to keep track and see if we have an increase downtown,
and we have
or
more
if
where
we
that
have
comes
a,
from,
a
including
decrease.
A cooler one. That's
she's all rationing.
thank you.
They are so cute because they end up half full. I know how that ends up.
Well, these are worth a dime.
I have to water my plants somehow.
That's worth more than you paid to get the water in there. Well, anyway, so let's let that subject rest a little, unless you guys want to beat it some more.
I think we need to have that conversation.
Okay.
And you guys, and here again, I appreciate you guys getting on board, because we couldn't have probably passed that. In fact, I'm sure we couldn't have passed that without the city's support.
Sure.
And it's not that we owe you something, but we really, you've got a place at the table.
We're in this together.
You're a stakeholder. Yeah. You're a partner.
We're here. We want to get yours passed in November.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we need to get this hammered out, so we don't need to be sniping at each other about
exactly.
30 jail beds. That ain't going
to
work.
No, I think the key is to coming up with a matrix or something that works for the whole system, because ultimately building that confidence and the perception is going to be key to coming up with some kind of permanent solution within a 5-year period.
Yeah, because if city citizens see a difference in this 6 months to November, and it's the wrong kind of difference,
that's true.
Then we have a problem selling
our
own levy. And so this is a critical time
to
make sure we're holding the service level as best we can.
Yeah.
And I think the sheriff is. But I'm going to plead with you again. We need that for our own levy, because our city citizens have levy fatigue, and so we're very nervous about this next quarter.
But I am curious if there has been any difference, because as far as I've seen, the number, the caps have just gone up. There should have been no change to city services.
The monthly reports that we're getting, everything's fine. But if there was a hiccup, I know that we would come to you immediately,
please,
knowing that it's such a sensitive time right now for us.
Yeah.
So. But there,
don't wait for
there isn't.
Believe
there
isn't
right now.
We know what it means to be up against the electric.
Yes, you did.
You started, on our deal. We started late, and we were able to pull it out.
But well, we were all collectively nervous. Now we're more nervous alone, and so we're begging for help.
No, we're fine.
And we think it'll pass, but we have a couple counselors in Tyler and Flaming and Jason,
Anderson.
Especially Jason Anderson. Who... are considering campaigning against the levy, saying, hey, the city can do it for less. And the city might be able to do some things for less, but we finally got a chance to breathe because you guys passed the levy.
But
I'm like, no, just say renew.
The city can do it less. I can probably live at home with some of the less things, but 3 years from now, is that going to be adequate?
Exactly right. No. And the way
if
it was presented, Jason
just
didn't believe
today,
it.
Today, we can probably do it for less. But is that going to be adequate 3 years from now?
That's exactly what I told Aaron, is we were experiencing some counselor naivete because they were thinking in the moment, look what we could do with a levy today. And we're thinking, hey, there's a way bigger picture, and you're just not quite seeing that whole.
You want me to say today I can, but I
better. Right, exactly. We could cut this $600,000 over here. But it's not the best thing for our city right now, because we have this fragile criminal justice system that is finally back off of life support, and so let's not give it another sucker punch.
There's a shorter term look at the whole thing.
And so I don't think they'll actively campaign against it, but I'm not sure with Jason, and so we're a little nervous, and we're nervous that our PAC is not coming together. I did talk with Roy yesterday, Lindsay, and he's going to kind of head it up, and I did talk to Chris Woodburn, and he's going to help, which is a big help.
That's good.
And Chris Woodburn. And so I'm going to try and get Tim Cummings. And what do you guys think of having Laurel Sampson help? I thought
she has in the past.
She's got good friends, network, and so I was going to ask her if she could say no, but I'm thinking we need to kind of pull out some of the stops as a city, because we've experienced that same fatigue that you guys experienced, and we want to experience the same victory you just got. So if you have any friends in the city that might be willing to join that pack and help, even if it's just for a day with a $100 check, whatever it takes, because you know how those go. Those are 15, 20 grand experiences that we need money and volunteers. So if you guys know of anyone, that kind of backdoor help would be great. And you can go through me or through Roy with any suggestions or people. He's going to have a schedule next week, Monday, I think he said he'd have.
You know what? This is going to sound really cold.
Yeah.
I campaigned through the primaries, and as soon as I got one, I had to campaign through the general. And as soon as we walked in this building, we had to start campaigning again for the levy. My wife, she says, you will promise me not to campaign for anything for a while. I said, yes, ma'am.
I totally understand.
Because it was, Sheriff and I were every, almost, not, about two to sometimes three nights a week, and then every Saturday I had another group that I had to just take my Saturday and say, I have to go to talk to this group. And by the time you give a 45-minute presentation and then an hour and a half afterwards Q&A, your day's done. Oh, and I don't know about you guys, but that crap physically drains me.
Oh,
it does. It's draining.
When I get out of a room full of people, I really have to go be by myself for a little bit and rejuvenate.
Turn a wrench or
Well, what something. Was different this time, too, is there was no pack. This is the first time the county puppy had no pack.
Yeah. Wow. But you guys carried the water, and you did the hard work that came with it, and
it
paid off.
We moved the needle 24 points in less than 3 months. And I think that really had an impact on the no voters. I thought they went after the all care thing went down in flames 60-40.
Yeah.
I thought they said, we have just put the last screw in the coffin lid. We're never going to have to do this again.
Yeah, I flat out said no when they brought it to
I think
me. Said, I'm not
by
doing
the
it.
Time they realized that they were behind, they went, ooh, and they started to, boy, here, come get your yard signs, no new taxes, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It was too late.
Too late.
Yeah. The horse is already going wide open, and there was no way you can pull on the reins. And that was a good thing, because I think the element of surprise, they didn't take us seriously, to be honest with you, because we didn't do anything conventional. Not one thing did we do conventional.
No. True.
Were you going to get yard signs? No, why would we get yard signs? We don't think we need them.
And
well,
it paid off.
Well, fail.
Because you guys...
A lot of people... told us we'd
fail. Well, because you two guys really bolstered the political capital that the county had at that point, because now there's now let's see what they do with the levy money.
Yeah.
You know, can we trust them?
But we also have to find that permanent solution that's not necessarily a property tax.
Yeah. Very, very specific with the sheriff, and we've been very specific with Jim Goodwin. You document everything, and whatever you spend on, you make sure you tie it back to that levy. If you're spending that, you spend it right back to that levy.
So I just want to be mindful of time. You had two other items as well that you had.
Minor items in comparison. One was
development, the city and econ.
Common Economic Development Council or committee.
Committee that we're forming.
Forming, where's that at?
They met on Monday.
Well, they actually
did they? So you guys have your side up?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yep. Susan and Julie led a meeting on Monday. I heard back from the Cave Junction person that they thought it went very well.
Good. I'm excited about that one, so I hope you guys are too.
We are. I think we don't want to see the same old, same old. We actually want to see an outcome, and it's an actual bigger bang for the buck, and that we look at how are our school districts, how are our community college, how are the city and the county private sector all working together that we actually can turn our economy around versus, okay, this is what we know to do for economic development and this is the same outcome we'll always have and we're not getting anywhere. So our intent is that it be a different outcome.
Right, and that's why I want to light a fire under this committee and both our boards and council because it is that opportunity, and we actually have some firepower with John Bowen to pick up, you know, the advertising side of some of that stuff.
He meets with us at 11 today as well, by the way.
And yeah, and we know that as a city, we may have to carry a little more of the water, like we did on the development plan and everything, and that's okay, because we know that we live and die together. Mm-hmm. That so many of our thriving businesses, the owners live out there and love it, and so we want that same great opportunity to be what's presented, not the terrible side, and dig some of those things out, the graduation rate. Because we got some great stats, and then nationwide,
the
and then we got some really cruddy stats.
When's the last time you hired on
nationwide
an apprentice as a power company?
Right.
I mean, you have your former apprentice that's an excellent journeyman.
Right. He's old.
But I was talking to Brunel Electric, mm-hmm. and the same thing. When's the last time you had an apprentice? Mm-hmm. How often are we bringing on high school students anymore? I was speaking with Dr. Gene Manhart at Pacific Vet. I had to take my dog in a week or so ago. And she said because of minimum wage changes, they no longer hire high school students to do the stuff they used to do in the office that would get high school students excited about future veterinary work. Mm-hmm. They actually, because of the cost of minimum wage, have to hire adults that are career-minded and blah, blah, blah. And it's not creating this ongoing generational interest in different things. She has a strong desire. And so does Nelson Mailer. They were talking about creating a rotary group, a vocational group, to try to do in the county schools what the city's doing as far as connecting private sector to that. Well, why aren't we doing that in all of them? Why are we not connecting our businesses to our high school kids and saying, here's your apprentice. By the time he graduates, and by the way, in order to do this, you have to maintain a B in English or math or blah, blah, blah. You know, yeah. You keep your B average, you keep your apprenticeship, you'll be at a journeyman by the time you graduate high school or you have your certificate.
Across the nation, they are not promoting
trades.
Electricians.
No, no trades.
Not at all. Well, every kid is brainwashed from the time they enter kindergarten that they are going to go to college. That 4 years after high school is a given. And we're going to make sure they get there, even though when they come out after 4 years, they still can't change a spark plug. And their idea
and we're losing
is that we'll
kids
not
who are not bound
anymore.
For college. And I want to grab those kids and say, let's build in you a work ethic, a training, a skill. Let's try some different things. If this didn't work, maybe you want to be a plumber.
Exactly. Find out if you have a gift or something.
I used to get kids in. Yep. Years ago, I would have kids come in, college kids, would come in March and say, can I work for you for the summer? I need money for school. Now we give them full-bore student loans, so there's no reason to work for it. I'll pay it back later. That's what you've decided that they're going to do. So student loans get it all the way across, and they don't have to work for a living. So they don't come in and call and find out if they can get a job for the summer. Kids in high school say, hey, you said, kids, hey, can I have a job for the summer, and then I'm going to go in the military, or I'm going to go to college. Nope. It's all their future all the way is already mapped out for them, and it's a free friggin' ride. So they're not about ready to do anything.
So one thing.
I haven't had kids come in. For my opportunity out there, I haven't had kids come in 10 years and say, I need a job.
And
it just don't happen.
We're not also competing with the marijuana industry right now because it's paying higher cash. It's paying quicker money. I have some friends in the logging community, and a friend of mine does commercial fishing and logging, depending on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't find workers. And it's one of those things that either they're in the industry you can't compete with, or they're using and he can't take the liability because they're sending him up trees and it's not the time to have someone not with it.
From the industrial accident side, if they're test positive when you have an industrial accident and they draw blood out here at Asante, guess what? We're not covering it. You allowed him to work impaired with machinery.
Oh my gosh.
And so you're done. He just cut his finger off in the sheet metal shear. Uh-oh. We're not covering that.
So
we're not going to cover his disability.
I tried to do this a couple times. One was with the Community Business Education Center, which was supposed to be a go-between between schools and businesses. And the other time I tried to do it was when Frank Iverson was in there.
Okay.
Gather everybody around a table. Well, trouble you run into, everybody's got their own damn goals and direction.
Yeah.
Where are you going? Where are you going? Well, we got our own mandate over here. We got to go over here.
Yeah.
You know, the unions want to control this over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like everybody's got their own little directions. You can't get them to go the same direction.
Yeah, so they're all
legislatively, one of the things that was brought up as a recommendation was to see if we can get our legislator to consider a tiered minimum wage in that maybe you have a high school or an age cap that for up to 21 years old, your minimum wage is this.
Oh.
So they can get back
so
to looking
tiered.
At...
tiered.
An age-tiered one based on, or maybe it's just 18 years old. You know,
right,
high school kids focus
sense.
On, okay, I can hire a high school kid for cheap, get him going, getting him training. The other thing is if cannabis is the way everybody's going for work and we can't get it, start showing how getting trained as an electrician and getting through apprenticeship will help that industry.
Mm-hmm.
How would plumbing make sense or engineering make sense to make that a better...
plastic mold injection or whatever.
Whatever it is. But to me, our Economic Development Committee potentially has that ability to bridge some of those gaps.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's not just city, county, it's Cave Junction to all those schools. But if they're not going off to college, what are we left with?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get the most out of those that we have living wage family jobs here that encompass and get the kids through? So anyhow, they did just meet on Monday. I know that our hesitation is that we're concerned it's going to be the same old, same old, and we don't have anything to show for it.
Well, and they got a crappy plan to work off of, so they're going to have to be inventive. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but it was a pretty milquetoast.
I don't care what that plan says. I care what we want as a community.
I know, but I'm just saying,
like what you were saying with
for
my
reference,
studies.
You're not going to like it.
It's left it pretty wide open then because they really don't have a lot of good strategies and actions to follow. So,
but who's the fireball on there? Is it Kelly Wessels? Who's the one that's going to, I don't know. Is she one of the ones that's on it, right?
I don't know who the city picked. We picked Cameron Camp. He is on the Illinois Valley Airport Advisory Committee pilot, but he also is an IT guy. He does international stuff with cyber attacks and fraud and stuff like that.
Malware
and
stuff.
And he's an entrepreneur who thinks of, what about this business idea? What about that business idea? Who else did we pick? We picked, actually, I think John Bowen got our tourism spot. Somehow he was off the committee, and I don't know. He wanted to be on it. So, Brian.
Nice crossover.
Brian, I just blanked on his last name. It's not Russell.
John, I hope. He's a bit of a fireball.
He's in Merlin. He worked in cities down south. He started thinking outside the box down there for getting out of regional boundaries to get better deals for things and pushing different industries that had their rules of this is what you must do to say, well, will you try this, and getting discounts and bigger things. So just somebody who thought outside the box and got some things going. And I don't remember the other one we picked. We still have an opening on our land use resource person. We left that blank. Oh, Nathaniel Duarte.
That name sounds familiar.
Ran for commissioner, tall, young kid, works at Cajo, realtor, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just as getting a young mind on there, thinking outside the box.
Sure.
Like, or thinking in the box, maybe even, but it's just a young perspective of he's trying different, you know. You got someone who's not in college. You got someone who went straight into the work industry. What does that mean for someone? Mm-hmm. A little perspective of closer there. So if I could, I still want the school district on there. That was my biggest frustration, is that we cut out K-12. Because if you will talk to our superintendents, because I've talked to Kurt Cole, if you talk to RCC, they will tell you their goals are different. And they don't represent the same bodies. They don't have the same interest in mind. And so for us to cut off K-12, to me, that's where our numbers are low. That's where we should have made sure they were at the table.
And they're not?
Well, it's almost a fad with schools. I mean, it comes and goes, you know, school to work. It's a fad for a while, and then it goes away, and then it comes back again. Now it's kind of in for right now. But you never know, like, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road, if it's going to be in anymore, whether teachers are going to say, I'm not changing my curriculum. That's the hardest thing to do, is get a teacher to change their curriculum, because they're comfortable with it. You know, so we had a hell of a time trying to get them to shoehorn our people, the kids, into the programs, because the teacher said, hey, I got my curriculum, I don't need anymore.
We're going to need to stand up to the teachers union and the school board and everything, and just flat out now, as a community, say 68% graduation rate is not
good enough.
It's not acceptable. It's not good enough.
Yeah.
You're going to shoot for 85% within 5 years, or you're gone. We're going to get somebody else in here. And they'll go, who are we going to get in? Just say, we got 5 years figured out. And we're going to figure it out. But you won't be here. That's for darn sure, because you haven't done anything. I disagree with the way they teach school, in my mind.
Sure.
When I drive by down on my way home from the shop at 6:30, 7 o'clock, sometimes 8 o'clock at night, who's out there practicing on the field? The band. Pouring down rain, and the band's out there every night. You know why? Because that band instructor thinks that the only thing that's worthy of that kid's attention is band. Soccer is the same way. You are a soccer student. But the biology teacher thinks the same way. The Spanish teacher thinks the same way. They all just are so funneled in their subject, they don't care whether you learn anything else. And I say, good, I'm going to give you that. You're going to teach that kid for 6 weeks solid. If he can't come out of here speaking Spanish in 6 weeks, you're in trouble. Because I can send him to Mexico and he'll come back speaking Spanish in 6 weeks. But he doesn't have to worry about biology. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. He's just worried about Spanish for 6 weeks. And when he masters that, he's done with it. And that form of education works, but you cannot get it. I told a bunch of school teachers, they go, I don't get it. I said, you wouldn't.
What would your last topic
be? Reading five different books at once.
My last one is just a...
I'm going to be the meme guy.
You weren't here at our
keep
last...
Going.
Keep us going.
What?
Someone has to. You weren't at the last meeting, but we talked, me and Dan briefly, or we both groups talked about, me and Dan kind of took it on, as a trying to do something for a state of the city county that moved it out of the realtor-only hand and became a community event, and
Simon's
maybe try and get the realtors to sponsor it. Maybe they could still get education credits, and maybe they'd help organize it. I don't know. So I don't necessarily want either one of us to have to take it on, but we would if we had to. But I think we're a big enough city, and that we're only, again, talking to one on a little realtor audience, and we'd rather get the whole community involved with getting answers to what's going on in our city and county. Yeah. So that was just the last thing. I didn't think you and Simon would be like, no, we're never going to do that.
No, we had similar.
Yeah. And so we'll figure out a venue. Me and Dan will still work on it. And I just wanted to make sure it was still up on our radar. So.
Cool.
It's the perfect timing right now to try and plan for that so we can prepare the community for this is it. This is what we're
going
to do.
So I need to reach out to Gerard then, and because I don't want to step on his toes. He's been organizing it. So.
Right.
Well, and maybe we rethink that if they need to have one, what does that need to be? But the way it is right now, it's not working. It's never on time. It's never meeting the
goal. And there's competing realty groups. And I mean, they do their own little thing, their continued education credits, and we're a portion of it. So they could still do that, and they could come to ours and count it. And yeah.
I think we need to go a step further and include more people.
Yeah. Yeah. Invite every community group you can think of. And more. Okay.
So there's a couple things that on our last meeting that we had with you, Aaron, Dan had brought up the water lines. You know, we got them going out to Paradise Ranch, and we talked about there may be some state regulations prohibiting different linking in there. I'm coming from a perspective with my airports where we have finally come to a place under our current airport management that we're making some headway. We're on the FAA's five-year plan for some big upgrades and different things like that. We've received just this week, five grants came through to upgrade different lighting and runways and various things. Nice. And the potential for economic growth out of our airports is humongous. And out of that is they have already, they have an infrastructure, but there's not water to the airport. We're looking at potentially moving our search and rescue facility out of the North Valley Industrial Park over to the airport. They do have a aviation connection with rescue and various things that are sometimes used in that fashion, and so there's a natural link there. Mm-hmm. We already have, I mean, Judge Rose alone has three jets out there, but the potential economic expansion that will impact city and county alike is there if we can get water to it. There is a safety component as far as the fire services and such that are utilizing this facility in the summertime and various things. But I would like to revisit what would it take to see is how could we potentially, as we're offering a sewer expansion through that would impact the Paradise Ranch as far as the school district and the North Valley Industrial and expanding, you know, potentially. But water is the piece that needs to also be looked at. And I would ask if we could try to look at what are some ways we can think outside of what would meet that capacity to get water to my airport, the potential economic expansion because of that. I know we don't have it for North Valley Industrial across the street, but it's something to look at. I would ask that we revisit that and see.
Sure.
I don't know if there's a variance process in through the state to say, okay, we've got the city has put a tremendous amount of infrastructure out there, a lot of investment out there, and you can't sell any of the water. And that's sad. I don't see how they can possibly have a rule that collars you from.
I think there's some creative ways we can get around it, whether it and we can look at the potential possibilities, and I can provide you with some opportunities and what we would have to do to make that happen. It could be, we could do it on a we can maybe go through the process that we have now, maybe get something through. We could form a water district. The water district could maybe purchase the water straight from the city and then sell it to your the people within the district.
Meter, as it comes out of the reservoir and everything goes to that district.
Yeah, and so we would be just, so there's some ideas maybe that I can look into some more and see if that's something you really want to do. But
Commissioner Morgan was saying, you know, we're getting a lot of push from Medford. Mm-hmm. Medford continues to get busier, 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 and so the corporate jets are saying, hey, hit the throttle one more time and you land in Josephine County.
Right,
we're putting in a new Jet A tank again.
But to be able to load our hydrants, to be able to have...
We can handle, we're putting in a new tank out there so we can handle the demand for jet fuel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all it's going to take is for one person circling Paradise Ranch to land in Josephine County Airport and that'll sell. And what the heck is that? Well, you can buy that whole thing for $26 million. You say, I'm in. You never know.
Will you take cash? Some marijuana guy.
Get my machine out of the back. You know? But no, our airport is up and coming and it's growing.
That would be great.
Runway expansion down there, taxiways.
Well, and that feeds our boutique style corporations.
It does.
Because we are not, like you say, the Brunswick.
It does.
We're more of the Dutch Bros and below.
Yeah.
But the opportunity is huge, and I think that there's a way we can figure it out.
Madras Airport, you know, Rick Riker and I at League of Oregon Cities took that tour out to Madras Airport. It was phenomenal. Oh, all they got was water and pavement. And boy, they were off and running.
Yeah.
All they did was water
and pavement. Redmond did the same thing out with Ben.
Yep.
They made an agreement and have been very successful.
Redmond, Madras, Prineville, all of those. You know where they're booming. You know why? People are bailing from Bend. Yeah. I think we're going to have the same thing with people saying, you know, I've had enough of Medford. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to start on the little outlying communities, and that's where we need to be poised.
It'd be great.
For them to be able to go. And, a lot of stuff is just, here you go, you know, with our objections. What are the objections to moving to my business here? I mean, you don't even have any water in the industrial park. I got a well. To them, they think it's a bucket with a rope on the end of it, or a rope with a bucket on the end of it. And I says, we need to get rid of that.
Well,
anyway we can do that.
That's the exact target. In municipalities, government entities, the best thing they can do for economic development is make sure that they have the infrastructure in place. Mm-hmm. They can't drive private sector, but what they can do is they can create an environment where the private sector can come in. That should be the key focus of government when it comes to economic development.
I think we've used the industrial land crutch long enough in Josephine County and the city of Grants Pass. Oh, we don't have an industrial land, so therefore we're not in the market. I think you're targeting the wrong market. I think you need to be looking at the smaller market. You know, we need 20 acres. No, you don't. There's a lot of people out there that don't need 20 acres. And you're not offering them those smaller parcels. You're offering them, you're just thinking big. Think big, think big, think big. And I don't want to think big. I think we could be the bedroom community for White City all day long.
We should send them a couple of those.
Are you guys doing anything with the... wastewater treatment plant out there? I mean, that's kind of like
The business.
That's that's what we're talking about. We're opening that door again.
I don't know if they have either. We just got them.
Paradise Ranch shut down.
Who did it come from?
An aspect
it came
of that.
From us.
Could we send it over?
Yeah.
So we treat the plant out there, and it was going to take care of the schools, the industrial park, Paradise Ranch, and then swing down into Rendata down there.
Uh-huh.
So what we're focusing on now is one that is expandable. It's not any more cost to expand later versus now. So it's kind of a module, a sewer, and
but they can all connect together.
And it potentially would provide for the whole area all the way down to Rendata.
Who's the manufacturer of the module sewer systems?
Steve is the guy's name. He's a friend of mine out of. Who's the manufacturer? Steve.
Didn't know if you knew what the manufacturer was.
Honestly, we passed it to Simon, and don't know where it's at with Rob. Rob Brandis was working with Simon.
Conceptually, we've got to get people to turn around and look at this from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do. You know, modernize our search, I guess,
mm-hmm.
rather than say, okay, a conventional plant's got to be on the river so you can discharge in there.
No, because there's a lot of those those systems, and there's a few good manufacturers in the Pacific Northwest that do that.
That was our hope. We're not looking at wasting our efforts. But I'll get him in touch with you.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Okay. And
I think you were gone by then, or maybe not. Did you see our redevelopment agency final plan the borders, it really turned out nice. It covers the industrial area, which we're going to focus on.
That's
first.
One of our topics for you, by the way.
And we got it in soon enough that it already first year was over 600,000 contributed, so it's just going to go up from there.
Wow.
And so we're going to really have a good tool there as a city to do some great things.
Yeah. Was getting ready to say something. One of our big chunks that we need to have a common strategy for is the fairgrounds.
Visioning.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yes, we need
that. Would be wonderful.
What do we do?
Through the fairgrounds.
Through public works, moving the bus sheds. We've got an awful lot of land that we are using as a county that is really being taken out of.
I'd love to see a motel
for better
use, convention
better
center
higher
down
use.
There. There's no lodging south of the river.
Yeah.
If there were a major event and we're cut off from the hospital, cut off from motels, cut off from different things, I would love to see a convention center multi-use in there.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about sports and the opportunities to expand sports because of the Dutch Bros thing.
Yeah.
Either way, we want earlier than later to be a part of visioning with that. And we think the city has as much or more to be a part of that partnership as we
do. And the Economic Development Committee could also have a recommendation for that.
But we see a redevelopment agency as potentially being the right fit.
That's probably the right fit because that's a specific area that we've called out for having some money go to. So we would want to develop a conceptual plan and get the public-private dollar for our partnership going and see what we can do. And that could be huge. We've got a lot. That's got so much potential.
Oh, man.
That's got so much potential.
With the Prince Charming involved.
But
it helps.
As the liaison to the fair board, that you're going to get a lot of pushback from them. So you got to consider. Take in consideration what you would like to see the fairgrounds look like. I think that we can carve off a good portion of what we have over there, do what we want to do with it, and still have a fairground.
And we can enhance the fairgrounds.
We can enhance the fairground.
Right, so that it becomes a more all-year-round hub of activity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And our arena expansion to be something bigger than like Jackson County. We can compete
not big enough to do
for bigger venues.
Like
we can
a
compete
hole.
For.
Yeah.
Right. Why isn't it big enough to
and
do
it's 97 years old.
Why is it? Why is it not
45?
And Dutch Bros wants to, they've talked about improving those facilities for indoor soccer, indoor tennis, for horses, for all those things. And maybe bringing a semi-pro soccer team, putting lockers in and stuff by the grandstands. And
but
so
the opportunity.
He wants to grow it, To do it right, we only got one chance to redevelop that right.
Could be multi-purpose. You could have indoor speedway motorcycle events in that.
Exactly.
That
and he has the idea.
Okay.
He has the idea of having like a 2,500 capacity venue, either in right in downtown on G Street, somewhere in his building, or maybe at the fairgrounds. He wants to have a performing arts center that's bigger, better. And so all those things is it's the catching that energy and blending it with the community's vision and will that is going
to
be the
hard
part.
We seem to be at a time that we really have. We're at a crossroads with our community.
Oh, man.
We're at a point of we're either going in this direction of future and envisioning and excitement and going towards something, or we say give up and we go this way. And I think that we are just fortunate to be here at the right time to be looking at those crossroads in a way that is we can get there. So I don't know what that's going to look like, but we would definitely entertain coming together and being a part of that.
Yeah, the BOC and the county would be a key player because it's your property that we'd be dealing with. But it's got so much potential. The infrastructure that's on there is nothing that you have to save. The whole thing could be just totally totally reimagined. And how do we make this the premier event?
I thought we missed the deal on Alternative Bay when they made us take out, when ODOT says we're going to take out that entrance to the fairground.
Were you here yet with that?
No, that was after.
I just said,
you know what?
I would have gone to ODOT and said, you know what you're going to do? We're going to get rid of that. That's no longer the entrance to the fairgrounds. You're going to come in off of Ringette over there. We're going to put our entrance to the fairgrounds on a side street, and that's where our midway is going to be coming in off of Ringette. Get rid of the bus sheds. Get rid of the maintenance yard. The schools, food lockers, all that. That all goes and make a really nice midway entrance off of the parkway. And ODOT would have paid for it because you imagine the amount of traffic it had taken off of their parkway. They would have paid for it gladly.
Still part of visioning.
And they still did.
Yeah. Well, and certainly, hotel makes sense and all those things. And so I hope that the fair board the commissioners, the city council, and Dutch Bros mm-hmm. can all make that dream come true, because we're never going to find a chunk like that again inside our, I mean, we're so limited, but to have that chunk now, we're never going to have another shot at it. So.
And to play off of what Lily was saying, the mayor and I have had the same conversation you said. We are right now, when the mayor and I sit down and we just think about the next 5 years, how absolutely great this community can be and all the great potential it has, and for us to be able to be in the position to where we can maybe help you know, facilitate some of that, it's just going to be a wonderful time in the history of our community.
It's going to get easier for your young people as you go on, because us, the old timber community has got to lose its grip.
Uh-huh.
That, oh, timber's going to come back and we're going to save you. It's all going to go back to the past, and it is not. But you're going to find the guys like me that are holding you back are going to die off. So just be patient.
Right, and we're realizing that if we don't plan for that now,
you've got to,
we have the great opportunity.
You've got to be in queue to pull the trigger. So mm-hmm. now's the planning stage.
Well, and it's that baby boom bubble. The whole thing is moving into retirement.
You'll be in my position in 20 years. You'll be in my position going, we're not going to do that. By golly, we tried that back in the 80s. Well, that's not going to work. So keep in mind.
That's a very good point. Because nothing is as it was. And even if something was tried 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't these circumstances.
Yeah.
My concern is, yes, tourism is, yes, the third leading industry, but it brings revenue to Salem and Portland. It doesn't come back to us necessarily in the same capacity. And it doesn't bring living wage jobs. The tourism industry tends to be on the lower end, service industry kind of stuff. You know, how do we build an economy that actually provides for families? That it's not just this person we can recruit for this spouse, or, you know, have generational jobs where you can start as a kid, you can move into this, you can work up to this.
Well, we're finally getting that in some areas. Engineering has come a long way in our town. We have firms here that are 20 people deep mm-hmm. working on projects around the state.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the bright spots that we were able to capture naturally. You know, we didn't make it happen as government, for sure.
But we have to ensure that quality of life so that it attracts them.
Exactly.
And if we fail to do that, okay, I have to answer my own question here for tomorrow's meeting. Don't you say a word.
I didn't hear anything.
We need to create that atmosphere that continues to attract those people.
That's it.
It is.
And as mm-hmm. Commissioner Morgan said, you know, the players all change. No. I can look back at a 1929 beauty contest, and I see no reason why they had that contest back then.
That's funny, Dan. Well, and here's my...
Let me know when I can listen again, because
here's my thing. It's almost time. Okay, now. And I put it this way, that Grants Pass has some of the greatest place to raise a family, and we create these shooting stars, and they leave, and they land somewhere else. And we want to create that environment where those shooting stars land here and start an amazing business. I know, we made it.
Pam and I went down through town the other night, you know, on Friday night, and I said, I got to go down to H Street and then come back up to E Street. Packed. The hall was standing room only outside the parking lot.
Yeah.
Standing out there with mugs of beer. Port Authority.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah.
We're getting a young nightlife community here, which is good.
Well, and that's
nice.
What I'm catching around the state, when I went to Bend and when I'm at the coast, I actually hear people, and I went and talked to them afterwards, because I heard the next table talking about Grants Pass. There was two couples that were in their 40s. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we just went through Grants Pass. Oh, yeah, we've been down there. And so we're getting this buzz, and we need to capture that as well.
Pam hears Grants Pass and Dana Point and Laguna Niguel stuff down there a lot.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so when they get here, we need that first impression. We need
that
weeds cut. We need
that. You are? You're from Grants Pass? Uh-huh. Born and raised here.
What?
Yeah.
I ran into someone who went to high school with you. Remind me when later to tell you. Okay, so the last thing on my list.
Since they were really old, I couldn't understand.
No. It's not for right now. I just forgot that.
Today I'm going to do a deal for the Courier, because I'm building the car that I had in high school for my 50th class reunion, and they want to come and do a feature on it for Back to the 50s.
Nice. That's cool.
Okay. Can I bring this up real quick, Mike?
Yep, and then I have one more for you.
Concept for the joint thing on the other side.
Oh, mm-hmm. Where you've got it fenced off for construction or whatever. Right?
The, you know,
this is
like
the
that.
Portion between Ann Basker and City Hall.
In between Ann Basker and City Hall. If you guys are, I brought it to you a while back, but I didn't know if you were interested. Something along that line, and then we'll fence it with a car lock for both employees can gather there. We are getting ready. Our facilities is packed right now. They're way behind schedule, but they're going to start tearing this out pretty quick.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, then we can have a workshop meeting out here.
We have asked for our ADA access to be moved from the north side of the building to the south side of the building.
Here.
That'd be really good.
So that ADA access will be gone on the other side, so that it's not...
It's
also towards the front versus you're coming in at the back
in
behind
off of an ADA sidewalk. And
excellent.
Right now, motorized chairs I don't think can get in that well on that end, so... That's going to go away, and then we can obscure because our air conditioners are over there. Those can be obscured also. You've got air conditioners over there. That's
and
fine.
A generator. And that could be obscured.
Stuff, but I would like to see us, you know, not go at this thing whole hog, but get some excitement between the two governing bodies to have something like that done. I think it would be a very good thing for the employees. You know, I had some people here that said, oh, my gosh, I always go out there. Kimberly Gasper said, I used to come over here and have a cigarette. I never saw you there in 5 months, Kimberly, but I believe you.
Right.
Yeah.
So
This is county property.
Yeah.
Right. And so
is it all the way up to City Hall?
I think it is to the walkway somewhere.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
County property. And
so you guys have to have the lead, but we'd love to help.
But we're also thinking that some of this that hardscape can go over and be utilized over there again too.
Oh,
so, the little the checkerboards,
right?
Chessboards and stuff. We can cut those off of the saw on the bottom and then build a metal stand that they just tube.
Oh yeah, you could. Sure.
That they just drop down into and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep it from looking like a mini prison? By the way,
lots of green.
You put all the walls up and all that stuff. You know,
well, right now the front of it is all hedge.
Leave that. Yeah.
You can leave that.
But you could
put the
grow some
the
ivy
outside,
like
put
this.
The off, put the landscaping on the inside so that the people inside.
I don't know any prison that has a pergola.
Right.
I just kind of wanted to throw out a couple of high concepts there that are kind of nice. It could be nice.
I think it'd be a nice crossover for the employees to be able to see each other as well.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's...
Yeah. Because then I'd like to have a Monday workshop there 1 week.
Water cooler talk cannot be avoided, but as long as we have the cameras and the microphones going, we'll be able to tell them.
Just to let you know, actually, we're having one council workshop a month without the cameras. We moved it into the conference room, and we found that in training new counselors, we've hit a bunch of different procedural things that we... It's kind of hard to talk about at a meeting. Like, well, I don't really want to go into that now. And so we had one already last, not this Monday, but the one Monday before, and they really liked it, and we liked it too.
We talked for it.
Yeah, we got to, and actually the
newspaper
guy got up and left at the end, so we stayed another half hour.
What a workshop is supposed to be, but it morphed into something else.
Yeah.
And so I know we needed the transparency when we decided to put them on camera, but then we realized after an election, we need a little more... learning curve time, some time to get together and talk frankly, and so it really looks like it's going to work out. So, just procedural.
Conversation we had. I went to one meeting. How are you coming on your drones, robotics, and light show thing? I was just disappointed that Pauline Martin said, "Well, because Dutch Brothers is going out there, we're not going to have fireworks." And I texted her right off the bat, and I said, then tell everybody that if they got to get their fireworks fixed, they can go to the Boatnik this Friday and Sunday because they have free fireworks down on the river.
Yeah.
Fantastic show. Instead of saying, well, Dutch Brothers moved in and now there's no more fireworks in Josephine County. That was not true, and she needed to soften the blow a little bit on that. But also, I think that we could get in after they have that. Remember we talked about that laser show and drone?
Drones would be amazing.
That would be fantastic for this valley because we'd have people coming over from Medford to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Loud music, this, you know, psychedelic stuff. I think it would be awesome.
I threw that towards the tourism committee, and I think it's on the next agenda. I'm not sure. But I wanted to get their take on the fireworks thing. And then I don't know where to go next because the city, of course, doesn't want to own fireworks. But
well, Boatnik, like I say, let Boatnik own the fireworks. They have two events, a Friday and a Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's in Riverside Park.
I'm good with that.
And they're willing
Our
to do
animal
it.
Animal community would actually support us moving away from fireworks.
Yes, they would, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And my neighborhood put off enough fireworks this year for the entire community. Aerials.
I said the same thing. I said, why don't everyone that has the illegal ones just come together and have we'd have awesome. A great show.
Safeway parking lot. Or whatever.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. With all this,
I have to admit that my neighbors did an awesome job. And it wasn't just my neighborhood. I noticed a couple blocks out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whole city.
I think we would have a greater support.
From the galleys.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's going to be very expensive, and I think Dutch Bros should try and help make us whole.
They are a part of the change, but we also have to look at as a visioning of, as animal lovers, how do we support in the middle of race tracks that the horses aren't getting spooked by the explosions. Now we bring a light show and music that is and our dogs. So we have to market it in a way that meets the needs of our community.
We have a small group. We have a small group that's working on the drone races and the drone stuff.
Right.
Yeah, we do. So, yeah, Susan and John.
Robotics is another huge. Robotics is huge.
What a
motley
crew.
Welcome, Commissioner.
All right, where's the gavel?
Hey, Commissioner, how's it going?
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, sir.
What's going on?
You know you.
Good, thanks.
So, Evan, how you doing?
Good to see you guys.
Mr. Boland.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Too early?
No. About a little bit. We're almost wrapped up. So the last couple things I had, just want to reiterate, as we meet with our quarterly, it'd be nice to be able to develop the agenda ahead of time, so if there is some things that we want to make sure that we're talking with y'all about, so I just wanted to.
We mentioned that yesterday too.
Where I was like, what's on the agenda? I'm like, I don't think there is.
We called over to see if you guys had anything specific on
for
the
today.
Agenda. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I'm not talking this. I like the open camaraderie and the ability to just come.
Oh,
but I mean over there.
Oh, on those
okay, the group
to,
ones.
To actually
the joint meetings. Yeah.
Better use of
put
you
some
know,
meat in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, if
we look a little clumsy on TV.
One way that we deal that is if we add a section in that says other or matters from commissioners or something, you know, that kind of thing. That sometimes we have things that it'd be great to talk with y'all about or vice versa. So just a little more heads up because.
Well, maybe we could agenda build that.
That could potentially
this group,
too.
That'd
yeah.
be good.
Yeah.
If we met beforehand, so we knew where that was. And then I also just wanted to give you a brief update on where we are with public health. Our public health director resigned the Friday before last.
Paper.
Or last Friday was her last day. She resigned the previous Friday. We have asked Cheryl Walker to be our interim director. But the public health administrator functions, which is kind of the point person for the medical decisions. Dr. Candelaria, who is our medical director, has taken that on. So that portion has gone to him. Cheryl's experience as a manager, she was the public health liaison the last 4 years and served on several statewide committees related to public health. She can be an administrator in the department just fine. Dr. Candelaria is taking a bigger function for the liabilities and responsibilities. We have asked there was an official request by our district attorney to have our animal control officers placed under the jurisdiction of the sheriff. We were an outlier. In the state, you have either public health running animal control officers or sheriff's office running them. All of the public health ones are unarmed, and all the sheriffs are armed. We were the one armed public health
entity. The anomaly.
And so
living rogue, were you?
We were living rogue. And so just because of
you guys
the,
think you found that tagline.
We're owning it now.
Yeah. I see the cars. I think that it should be a requirement that the city only buy Nissan Rogues.
Yeah, I love it.
And you just put live
Rambler.
Right in front of it.
Partnership.
Back in the 60s, Ramblers had a rogue.
Really?
American.
Nice.
Rambler
rogue.
Seriously.
Golly,
yes, it was still a...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Took a bathtub.
At least the Nissan Rogue actually is a nice, sharp car. But side point, just want to let you guys know where we're at with it. Tyler Flaming is our liaison with the city, and I had sent out an email to our advisory board members just giving them a heads up of where we're at. And
a lot of rumors flying around about public health.
Okay.
So he was going to read it tomorrow night at the meeting and just kind of give an update, but I wanted you all to
have it. I saw an article in the paper. It was pretty friendly.
The paper, I think, had some misinformation.
Twice.
That's unusual.
But that's okay. The intent is good. We'll continue to try to clarify information. But the shelter's staying put. There's some there's some public health function that has to remain under public health, but the animal control officers, we believe, because of the evidence collection, the due process and civil rights involved with searches, sending reports to the district attorney that can result in criminal charges, handling firearms, and use of force, those are law enforcement function. And to me, those liabilities are huge. And so I want to just make sure they have the extra accountability of our sheriff. And he's agreed to take those on. We're working on
that. So you're going to start that process?
Yes.
Change them over?
And it'll be probably sooner than later. So just the financing, people have questions about the levy. The financing will remain intact because the levy kind of has its own line item. Mm-hmm. It still will fund the positions the same way. It's just a matter of the supervisor will be from
the flow chart changed.
Correct.
So are you going to search for a new public health director? Or
potentially down the road. There's some aspects that public health offers that are also offered in the private sector. And so we're exploring if some of those functions can go to the private sector. Mm-hmm. But there are functions that we have to maintain and keep no matter what. And so what does that look like for us? So we're going to be evaluating what we have to keep. Communicable disease, infectious disease, CDC, we have different things that we have to kind of keep. But we're exploring whatnot. We also are trying to look at ways that if there are more efficient processes that we're looking at those as well. So we're looking at our environmental health division. If that can go under building safety where inspections are done, and so our citizens have one place to go for complaints. So if there is a health and safety issue, okay, is that nuisance and that's going to be our planning department's enforcement, or is that solid waste and environmental health? It kind of gets routed through one direction. So for our public's sake, they don't have to go to where do I have to go. It's one stop, and we route it where we need to internally. We're looking at potentially... we have prevention in juvenile under our prevention specialist. We have prevention in public health. We have different things. So we are just looking at most functions to be as efficient as possible, and don't know a time frame on those, but just looking at them so that we can...
Sooner rather than later, because
correct.
You know, we don't want it to flounder. It's a pretty important program, but taking this as an opportunity to really look. The introduction of CCOs into the community been something that's established, and they're there now. You know, they're not a fly by the night kind of a thing that Affordable Care Act's going to revert back from someplace. So I think that's we're at an interesting time in public health. I'm not sure what all you guys talked about, but in the last couple of minutes, I had told you that I had one thing, but I have eight things that I would
nice because I have about three phone calls I need to make in 7 minutes before we start the next.
Well, you don't actually have to stay for these if you don't want to.
You
can jump out. You may have talked about this, but we established a cannabis advisory committee for the county. Really just is involved
see
in
buddy.
County issues, not really with the city, but thought you should be aware of that if you didn't review it. We're exploring a PR contract with a firm that would be in charge of running social media and advising us on our website and how to communicate better with the public. You guys have a monthly newsletter that goes out with your mm-hmm. your water bill. We don't have that. We have an annual tax bill that goes out to most of ours, and that's not a real positive interaction with the county, as you can imagine. So we're trying to bridge that gap. We're also looking at the possibility of outsourcing some of our legal requirements. legal has put forth a proposal to outsource some of the planning stuff that we do to specific firms that might be an experts in that field. I'm not sure if the board hasn't heard this yet, but your legal department, like ours, is probably growing in its responsibility, and we have a real challenge in keeping up with the things that need to happen on a day-to-day basis, and then we have additional projects. So trying to figure out how do we thread that needle. We've allocated the most they've ever had in the history that I'm aware of, and they're still not quite keeping up. So that was something that I thought maybe if we could think together. I don't know if you do that. I could probably talk to you, Aaron, about do you do that, and who do you go to, and how does that all work out? A planning review. So we just had a public works review that's going to be coming to the board. We started about 6 months ago. I don't think you guys have done a public works. You have done a public works review.
Yeah, we just did in conjunction with the community development. Parks, community development, and public works same time.
Yeah, because there's crossover.
No, ours is
not. Which one goes where? So,
mm-hmm.
What I was looking for is I'd like to see how we could implement like a public works and planning client review, which you guys did with community development about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. How did that go? What did you learn? Mm-hmm. How could you do it better? And that we could do that same thing with the county so that people have an opportunity to not just go home and grumble and exercise their opinion when they want to vote. They can come and talk to the board, and we can actually make tangible improvements in our planning and maybe even public works as customer service element. Mm-hmm. There's a homeless task force that I'd heard talked about, and I wondered how has that been established or where is that going?
It feels housing committee.
We started the housing one.
I'm not so sure that this homeless task force isn't such a bad idea. I'm not coming up with it. It's been talked about, I'm sure. Hmm.
Well, when I was had different meetings over the last several years, but I don't know if it was an ongoing.
No, it kind of died off, and it was more vagrancy task force than homelessness.
Okay.
But there's nothing moving on that in my mind right now. I think it's on the side doing nothing.
It's really not just a Josephine Grants Pass.
It's not.
So I met with the secretary on Sunday. I got to the courthouse in Jackson County about an hour earlier than everybody else. And there were six people with shopping carts that vacated an alleyway and little alcoves around the back entrance to their courthouse and stuff. I don't think that happens here because there's days that I get in here pretty early and stay late. And that we don't have that right here, but just because of our architecture or geography. But it's happening, and we've done some things. Commissioner DeYoung has done good things over here to try to, you know, reduce the resources that you guys were allocating on a 10-minute basis interval. So I think that's made, but it really just shifted the problem probably somewhere else. Your resources are still being allocated to somewhere else. And how do we, you know, if you spend a little bit out front or you leaned into a little bit, maybe, I don't know, looking at best practices of what Bend has done or some other place and tried to make sure that we're doing those in a cohesive strategy. And then I'd be really interested to see what your guys' public works review, back to that. That was the last thing. Oh, emergency services. You guys are currently contracting with a Jackson County staff person or Jackson County in general to consult on some of your emergency services. Our emergency services manager is leaving very soon, and we're looking to hire somebody. There's a really good chance that the person you're contracting with is the person we're looking to hire here, and I wonder if there's a way to figure out how to make that synergy so we don't lose that. We actually just improve on that continuity by bringing that person over here. It's something I'd like to talk about. We're having...
sharing him in some way?
Yeah, we're having a little bit of a challenge keeping up with the Joneses as far as fiscally. There's a pretty significant delta between what we can offer as our emergency services director and what they currently offer to that person. She's a resident of Josephine County. We're going to have a discussion this afternoon. That is the challenge. We know it's the right candidate. Mm-hmm. It's just a resource element. And we are actually in a really great place emergency service-wise. We are going to put to bed a community wildfire protection plan this week and move it to next week. That's been a 5-year project. We've done our natural hazard mitigation plan, done. We're starting our continuity of operations plan. There's one other plan that I failed to remember in there, but we're like all stocked up with these major 5-year projects. So it's kind of not a coasting element, it's an implementation, but it's a different part of the program. So we don't have this huge workload that this person is pulling their hair out trying to accomplish. So in Sarah, Ms. Rubrick, she's just got done doing their continuity of operations plan in Jackson County using the same computer model program that we are going to do in Josephine County. So
nice fit.
That was my short list. Anyway, further stuff to work on, but sorry I wasn't here. I was presenting to the Jackson County Board on their community.
They made a fairly substantial excuse for you.
I didn't know it had been a 5-year project, and at the same time, I'm the only commissioner in both counties who's been there when it started. We'll sign it, actually. So I felt it important for me to be there. Anything else? Gentlemen?
Okay.
Nope. One thing you missed would be we talked about the matrix for the jail at the very beginning.
Okay.
That's something that we want to keep right up front because we're very concerned to see a a change in service from our city level when we're trying to pass our own fire and police levy this November.
Okay.
And so since it just started, it's in July, we don't really know what changes, if any,
sure.
are going to affect that community view of what level we're at.
Yeah.
And so so I was begging for city control, and Lily made a good argument for we need to have a longer conversation. Are we accomplishing the goal of making the community better by doing that? Matrix as we had to do it in an emergency situation, does it still make sense in a more stable situation? So
it's a good conversation that I totally would entertain. My expectation from the beginning of all conversations, starting three levies ago to get to this point, is that we maintain a service level and improve upon it. I don't want to take any steps backwards
yes.
in
yeah.
that effort.
Yeah.
We now need that to we've be moving got forward. And my thought was that we were applying almost the standard of care, so to speak, from the city, just broadening that to the county. Now, my understanding of how a jail works is this much. So when you ask the sheriff to implement a philosophy like mine, sometimes there might be certain nuances that are different.
Yeah,
but
if we need to change the matrix or whatever.
The goal is what I'd
right, exactly.
like to see something along those lines. That's my intent.
Right, because we begged for 5 years that
yeah.
we could improve your services if you paid for a levy, and so we don't want to lose that.
No.
We do want to actually improve our services, but
no.
also meet an end goal. That is, end result is our community is safer, mm-hmm. our risk is lower.
Yeah.
And our businesses thrive without being bothered.
Yeah. Well, she's yeah. an incredibly valuable resource on our board because like I said,
right.
she's been in it. For her
but
professional life.
We're knowing that by the time we have this conversation, we're going to be in November, and we're going to be at a levy, so we're kind of just begging for, hold the status quo?
We're here right now, anytime you need to chat.
Right.
And Commissioner DeYoung is the liaison to the sheriff's office, and
right.
everything else that's fun. And
all right, just wanted to catch you up, because that was the main concern we had when coming into this
yeah.
meeting. Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Sometimes you're better off coming with one thing rather than eight.
We're adjourned at 11:02.